Taking Stock with Pim Fox and Carol Masser. On demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Free for iPhone and Android devices.
Yes, a little bit, just a little bit of tapering, a little bit less quantitative easing. You like that musical segue, courtesy of our producer Paul Brennan?
Very clever.
You like that, huh? Mm-hmm. A little bit. You know, Jerry, we're gonna talk to Jerry Webman. Jerry is the chief economist, Oppenheimer Funds. He joins us in the studio today. You know, when I thought of a little bit, Jerry, I gotta say, I did not think of that song. I thought of a word. Abyssal.
For Ben Bernanke, that's probably just about
think?
The right. I think that's about right now. If they do absolutely nothing, so if they do garnished, if we're going to keep doing this, Pim, it's the time of year, I guess. It disrupts the markets. We all sit there and say, what do they know? We don't know. So to do a little token taper right now says we're on track. But we've got a ways to go, and there's very little risk in there being patient with withdrawing the level of stimulus.
What's a little? What's a token taper in your amount?
Let's call it 10, 15 billion. 10 is what I've been going with.
Right.
A lot of people who are really wired in are saying 15. Fine, whatever.
But. Right.
What's the difference? Why does this matter so much? You're talking about a $16 trillion a year economy, and that's just talking about the goods and services that we can count and get transferred. That's not even talking about the assets that exist in the country, and we're worried about $10 billion a month?
Well, you're right. This is symbolic right now. Now, as we've already seen, by the way, the real changes in interest rates, economy is much more sensitive to that than I think people in the past have thought. We just talked about housing. It's not terrible, but they're sensitive. What this says is the Fed has aware of the situation. They're aware that there are costs. We're not sure what they are, but we know there's some disruption to having this amount of monetary stimulus. They want to withdraw it. They're going to withdraw it. The economy is getting better, so they'll be able to withdraw it. And this is just a symbol, a signal that we're moving in that direction. So it's completely symbolic, but it should give us, they want it to give us some reassurance.
It's also a way of testing out the market, right? I mean, there's so much I would think already priced in because we've been talking about it ad nauseum, but it lets the Fed see how it plays out in the marketplace.
Well, that's a good point, Carol, because the insiders tell me that the Fed was really surprised at how sharply the market sold off
back in May.
And
that's when Ben Bernanke floated
the idea that we are going to eventually get out of this. I mean, what the heck did we want him to say, except that we're at some point we're going to get back to normal? Come on, what did we want him to say? And that we're being vigilant? Yeah, all that's true. In any case, that 100 basis point step function change was surprised to the Fed. And so they're going to want to see what a small change that they can easily reverse. If they should have to, which I don't think they will, but should they have to, what that does.
Jerry, you're an economist. How's the economy doing?
It's fine. It's the economy is doing decently. I think led by a couple of sectors, home ownership or the housing sector, residential real estate is okay, and I think continues to be. It's only got what are low interest rates. By the way, we talk about how high mortgage rates are. Don't forget, we produced a bubble in the housing market with 30-year rates 100 basis points higher than they are now. So I'm not terribly worried about that. Housing sector's got a ways to go. The demographics support it. We're producing more 30 to 35-year-olds. The manufacturing thing is okay. It's not a big deal, I don't think. Some smart people disagree. The oil story gives us a little bit of reduced risk. It's the economy's okay.
Jerry Webman, if you're driving around, you're thinking about the future of own. Well,
yes.
No, because the idea is, it's great to have a view on the economy, and I got the idea the economy's doing okay.
Yeah.
What do you do with the money?
I think it's still reasonable for investors who have more than this afternoon as a perspective to be looking at so-called risk markets. I think we should be looking in the equity market still. The U.S. looks, you know, reasonably fairly priced. You can make money in a fairly priced market if you're selective. I think there's a rotation back toward European stocks where the economy is getting better in Europe, in most parts of Europe at least, or in critical parts of Europe. We could be looking there. I think we look at this sell-off in emerging markets as probably one of the best opportunities around. You know, I talked to you some months ago and I told you I thought that was the best opportunity. And guess what? It's just gotten to be a better opportunity.
Well, all right, so I'm glad you put that. Because that leads me to this thing where you say, well, okay, if you really want to make money, you have to look at where other people and other investment professionals are not looking. Because if it's a store where there's a lot, you know, a big crowd, chances are you're not going to be able to get a bargain. Do you think that still works, this idea of looking for value?
Well, you know, the definition of value and growth, I'm a fixed income guy by 30 years in this industry. Value and growth is a good way to draw org charts, not a good, particularly good way to invest, in my opinion. But I think looking for underappreciated opportunities to grow earnings is always going to be central to an investment thesis. And I believe people have looked away from the emerging markets. There is
a
shift.
Well, they have. I mean, they have.
Well, the numbers support it. But here's the thing. Now, you got it when you look back, look carefully. Because the old story that was driven heavily by resource stocks, materials, a commodity so-called super cycle, I think people need to be cautious. They need to be looking for companies that are directed toward a consumer in emerging markets, domestic consumption. How do you get out of the middle income trap? You develop domestic consumption. That's going to make a lot of money for well-positioned companies, companies that can deliver consumer technology, in for example.
Is that the best play right now? Because you kind of covered the whole globe. You said opportunities in the U.S., be selective. There's stuff over in Europe. And then you said you really liked some of the emerging areas. Is the emerging areas the best play right now?
If your perspective is the next 5 years, the best opportunity, the most likely place to find cheap stocks that are undervalued relative to their earning capacity. It sounds like a lawyer wrote this, but you see what I mean. The best opportunity to find stocks undervalued relative to their earning capacity is probably going to be in the emerging markets. There will be great companies that surprise us here and in Europe, maybe even Japan, but the largest number of them are going to be in the emerging markets.
Jerry, I was going to ask about whether there are alternatives to stocks and bonds that people ought to pay attention to now with their money, because there has been a huge amount of dissatisfaction with the level concept, level playing field concept when it comes to these investments. Because, you know, you can invest in a great company, but you don't have any direct... It's not like you can be Carl Icahn and call up Tim Cook, the head of Apple, and say, gee, I'd like to meet with you, right? I mean, most people are at the very long end of that tail. Are there things that people can do with their own money, invest either in themselves in the form of better education, better skills, but also in their own homes, or indeed even go and find other businesses that they know a lot about that they can participate in? Because sometimes distance gives you that idea that, you know, everything's okay except when it's not.
Well, so when I published the book Money Shift a little over a year ago, I devoted an investment book. I devoted a whole chapter to your own human capital.
Right.
Invest there first. So for most people, increasing your own earning capacity, your own value to the market is the first and most important thing you can do. And even if you think about a Carl Icahn, what has he done? He's figured out a way to invest in his own ability to affect the world. We can't all be him, but we can all do that to some extent. That's the place to start. But I think we also have to look at where there is capital we can put savings to and see that grow beyond what we can do in our own paycheck.
Great stuff. Jerry, thank you so much.
Always a pleasure. Thank you. Thank you both.
Jerry Webman, he's chief economist at Oppenheimer Funds, joining us here on Taking Stock. You are listening to Taking Stock. This is Bloomberg Radio. I'm Carol Masser, my co-host Pim Fox.
Taking Stock, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, in New York on Bloomberg 1130, in Boston on 1200 AM and 94.5 FM HD2, or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2013 Bloomberg LP.